Father, I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you honor. You're the very best. What a God you are, that you're watching over us. You see everything. You know everything. You actually made a list of people who are talking about you. You were like, you made a list of people that were talking about you, fearing your name and waiting for your blessing. And you said, on the day I make up my jewels, you're going to be so blessed. Lord, we thank you that we've been sitting around here talking about you, hungering for you, wanting more, praying more, asking you to break this drought, asking you to do wonders in this house, believing you, Lord, to lift us up, oh, living God, like you promised that you would. And Lord, we receive the word that we heard in this house today with absolute joy and anticipation. And we can't figure out. Now, remember what he said, it's like going to be a surprise, going to be suddenly. You're not going to be ready, so don't be sitting around trying to figure out how it's going to happen or make it happen, because that's not how it happens. Ezekiel was sitting in captivity. He was sitting in captivity by the river Kibar. He was like one of the last ones. They took him over into Babylon. He's a prophet of God. What are you doing in Babylon, prophet of God? He was a prophet of God. He was sitting by the river. When all of a sudden, his world changed. The word of the Lord came to him, said, look up. And he saw some amazing things. He looked up and he saw, well, Mike Bracken saw some translucent little green men. I'm like, okay, all right, Mike. I don't quite get that, but okay, I believe you. We're just like, oh God, we've seen enough of earthly things. Come on, people, lift up your eyes to the word of the Lord and the promise and the vision that he set before us. And so Ezekiel's like, looks up. Well, you know, in John chapter 1, John, he's in captivity. He's got an ankle bracelet on him on the Isle of Patmos. And the Spirit said, he heard a voice. He turned to see the voice, see the sound. That's the word right there. See the sound. He looks up and he sees Jesus. Well, what he saw was not quite as crazy and scary as what Ezekiel saw. Ezekiel looked up and he saw these four creatures. You know, I always thought that there were four creatures, and one had the face of a lion, and one had the face of an eagle, and one had the face of a man, and one had the face of an ox. No. Four creatures. Each one of them had four faces. You know, you've thought about people being two-faced. What about four-faced? It's a four-faced creature. And so I'm sitting here in captivity, not knowing what's going to happen or what I'm going to do. This is not what I'm going to preach, by the way. But Jimmy and I went back and forth all week, and at 6 o'clock this morning, he handed me the baton, and we tag-teamed it off to me. But anyway, so there he is, and he looks up, and there's these creatures. They've got four faces. You know what those faces are? They're the manifold expression of God's authority. One's a lion, that's a ruler. One's a man, that's Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. You know, this is like symbolic of the Gospels. Matthew's the lion, Luke is the Son of Man. The ox is Mark, work, 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 work. And the eagle is John. Full of theology, the book of John. But anyway, so he looks up and he said, oh, there's the four Gospels. On the face of four creatures. And no. He's just like, wah! Here's four creatures with four faces. And they just move straight. As they move straight. And they have like little hooves that sparkle. And what they're walking on are like hooves, but they sparkle. They're bronze and they sparkle. Reason I'm saying this is not to give you any revelation of all these creatures. And with each one of these four beings, heavenly beings, each one has attached to it a wheel. Not just a wheel, but there's a wheel within the wheel. And on the sides of those wheels are like eyes. Eyes, 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 eyes. I mean, how would you like to look up and see that? God's just wanting us to look up and see the sign of a sound of rain. But I'm saying, God, open our eyes that we can see that those that are with us are more than those that are against us. Open your servant's eyes like you opened the eyes of the prophet in the day when he said, open his eyes. And he saw that the mountains were full of the army of God. And he saw that those that were with them were more than those that were against them. And I declare to you today that there are heavenly beings, creatures that are so different than anything you would ever have seen, that are hovering around and doing their thing. Because the Spirit of the Lord is hovering over this place for the word of the Lord to be fulfilled and for His moving to come in this house. It is His heart's desire. We're not like begging God for something He doesn't want to give. It's His intention. I will pour water on him that is thirsty.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. What a mighty God we serve. So he looks up and he actually saw this thing in a whirlwind. It was like a whirlwind, and engulfed in this cloud, this whirlwind was, it was engulfed in raging fire, brightness radiating out of it, the color of amber.
Yeah.
So it's like this amazing, amazing picture. God wants to open our eyes to see there's more to be known, more to be had, more to understand about the wonder of who He is. And He has not just water for us. He has fire. And these creatures and the angelic beings and the ones in the heavens that are working where we can't see. Some of us can see. We can see sometimes. I'm not a good seer. I'm always like, oh God, make, give me a seer anointing. I want to see, I want to see, I want to see. But God gives diversity in the body of Christ, which is really what I'm going to talk about. He gives diversity. Some see, some hear. There's all the way that the word of the Lord comes, but He gives it through multiple vessels and in multiple different ways. So I want to encourage you to lift up your eyes to spiritual hopefulness. And now we're going to land this plane and turn with me to Luke chapter 9. I want to talk to you. I don't know which pages are which. Hold. Oh, there it is. There it is. I got them backwards. I remember the first time I ever, well, no, not the first time I ever prophesied. I prophesied around here. But I remember the first time we ever had someone here that was scary, like a scary prophet. Brother Roberts from a work that had a scary prophet in it. I mean, like a prophet that you feared their word.
Yeah.
He came up in those worlds. But I can remember Sister Kitely, Violet Kitely coming. And the pastor lined up those of us she wanted Sister Kitely to pray over. And I think I was standing about right there. And she came to, I thought I would die. I was scared to death of her. Violet Kitely was so intense about God that people would say they thought she would overshoot heaven. She was so intense going after God. And so she prayed over me and declared over me and said that in me was a rich deposit of the Word of God. You have a rich deposit. And then she began to say, prophesy, prophesy. And she was commanding me to prophesy. And I was like, oh God. And I was like trying to choke something out of my mouth, which once I started to prophesy, it's just like a dam broke. Once it started coming out. It was like the breaking of a dam. In Luke chapter 9, I want to bring a little bit in how God is working with us in this season. He doesn't want us to be focused on trouble, or problem, or drought. He wants us to be focused on the, lift up your eyes, look outward on what he has for us. You know that the future of this church is not in front of you. It is behind you. The future is behind you. The people younger than you are behind you. And the people that God is drawing to encamp here with us and do his thing, they're not here. They're out there somewhere. We don't know where. And we're not going to do what my friend Earl King did when he was building a church down in Florida. He said he heard himself one day saying, he was in prayer. Earl's an intense guy. He's in Bible college here, and he went on. He was an intense guy, and he was praying. And he said, I heard myself say, God, go out into the highways and the hedges and bring them in. And he said, I heard myself pray that. And when I heard myself pray it, it echoed back to me. Oh, wait a minute. He told me to do that. So we can pray, God, bring people in. But he told us to do that. So Jesus sends out his 12 disciples in Luke chapter 9. He called his 12 disciples together. And he gave them power and authority to cure over devils and demons, all demons, not some demons, all demons, and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And so we cannot over-rationalize the healing of the sick, and we cannot over-rationalize the promise of God. We just believe the promise, hold to the promise, and trust God and see how he works things out. And he said to them, he gave them some rules. But first I want to point out about this, that first of all, he called them together. He had the 12 disciples. He didn't just call them right then going, you and you and you and you. He had already gone out, gathered them, and he had called them and made them a group. Those of us that are here in this situation and are here in this room, God has already called us. He's made us a group. He's already brought us together. So Jesus had already called them together. When God is calling you, he calls you together, and he gathered them from various places. He had one that was fisherman. He had another one that was sitting under a tree. And there was how he called his disciples when he went out to call them. He was getting them from various places, brothers, cousins, unknown people. He gathered them from various places. He called them together and formed them into a group. And in that process of gathering, bringing them together, forming them into a group, then on this day, he called them and said, hey, could I have my guys, the people that I've been forming into a group, called together? I brought you together. Now I'm going to do something with you guys. I'm going to send you to do what I do. And they're like, oh, well, I wonder what they thought. He said, I want to send you. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick, and said to them, he gave them these rules. And these are the rules I want us to begin to focus on as we're lifting up our eyes and as we're believing God to use us to do the works that he does. Number one thing he said to them, don't take your stuff. Don't take your stuff. Or, in modern terms, he said, become a minimalist. Don't take your stuff. Empty your storage buildings. Don't take your stuff. Become a minimalist. I'm just translating that into modern day language. Because stuff encumbers you. Stuff encumbers you. I had four chairs that I just almost worshipped. I'll just be honest with you. These chairs just came to me by accident in Johnson City because the person who lived in the house moved to Hawaii and didn't want the chairs, and they left the chairs, and I love these chairs. I like the texture of them. I've kind of got a mental illness or something where I feel the texture. I don't know if I'm autistic or what, but the texture of a thing is everything to me. So I love the texture of those chairs. But we have three dogs. And at some point, one of the dogs decided to use the bathroom on the chair because it had upholstery all the way to the floor. And so it did, and then of course the other two dogs, you know how they are, they had to go to the bathroom on top of that dog's bathroom, and then are all around the table, all the four chairs, the dogs, three dogs, bathroom, 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 bathroom. I'm sitting in my house and I'm thinking, this house stinks. Then I'm trying to figure out, how am I going to get rid of this smell? And so then I realized where the smell was in my chairs. I'm like, oh, my chairs. Then I thought, I have got to shampoo my chairs. I've got to get the shampoo. I got somebody to bring the shampooer upstairs because I can't lug the thing upstairs. I got the shampooer upstairs, and I'm thinking, I've got to get these things. I'll have to shampoo them several times. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking, do I have time? With what God is doing right now in our church and what he's doing in me and what he's asking of me, do I have time to shampoo out every trace of dog urine out of these four chairs? I don't think so. I said, Jimmy, liberate those chairs. He said, Jane, are you sure? Can't we clean those chairs? I mean, because he knows I love those chairs. And I said, nope. Take those chairs out of here. When the chairs went out and I have no dining room chairs, I walk by that dining room and I feel like I've died and gone to heaven. First of all, it doesn't stink. And second of all, I'm not tied to those four chairs or anything else in there. And it sounds silly, truly. In ways it sounds silly, but in real life, it's not silly. It is the stuff, the little things that will just tie us up and encumber us. And we think, well, I could never do anything different with that. But yes, Tammy Jane, that you could do many things different with your stuff. And so he said, I want you to go out and do this and pour out, do what I said to do. If you're going to be in the flow of the Spirit and moving in the Spirit, it takes time waiting on God. It takes time before his presence. It takes hearing. It takes being free when he says move and flow. And so if you have a pile of stuff, if Jesus said go, and I said, wait a minute, Jesus, I got to find myself a cart big enough to put my four chairs in. I can't go without my chairs. He said, here's what he said to take. Verse 3, I want you to look at it with me if you've got your Bible or your phone. He said to them, take nothing. What, Jesus, where are you from? Take nothing for your journey. Well, I'm going to go out and do the work of God, but I'm going to have like a tractor trailer. To take what I'll need to be comfortable in this process. Take nothing. When you take nothing, here's what happens. You reduce dependency on necessary things. He was calling on them to reduce their dependency on necessary things and increase their dependency on the Spirit. Because they were going out with nothing, so they had to be 100% dependent on the Spirit. And so us as a church, whether we don't think we got to hold on to this, got to hold on to that, don't take any stuff. Don't think about stuff. Think about dependency on the Holy Spirit. Lord, whatever I need for whatever's happening, whatever's what I'm going to be doing, wherever we will be and whatever it will be, we depend on you. And who knows, we might be someday like Ezekiel by the river Kibar and just hear, look up and see a whirlwind and boom, you're seeing things, amazing things. Because he basically was a person who had taken away from him all that he had and was put in captivity. God's calling us to a heavenly dependency, a dependency on him and on the word of the Lord. a dependency on hearing and a dependency on seeing, a dependency to know what to say to who, to whomever we're going to say it. Secondly, he said, whatever house you enter, stay there. And from there depart. I'm going to translate that into a different way of saying it. Enter the open door and hold steady. Enter the open door and hold steady. Because what he said, whatever door opens, enter it. And don't go here and there. Stay there till you depart. Enter the open door and stay. Enter the open door and hold steady. This is one of the hardest things for people to do. To enter an open door and then hold steady until God's able to do what he's going to do. Because we've got an idea. God, you got to do this. You got to do that. They got to have like matzo ball soup here. They don't have matzo ball soup. I'm going to somebody else's house. I don't like food here. Enter the open door and hold steady. Don't take your stuff. Enter the open door and hold steady. And I love the third one. Oh, Jesus, get out of town. He said, whoever you speak to that they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and go on. You think, well, Lord, what is that like? I'm judging people? Is that a judgment? Really what Jesus is saying is don't grind your teeth over people who don't like you. Don't grind your teeth over people who don't like you. Release yourself from those who don't receive you. The whole world doesn't have to receive you. Don't grind your teeth over it. Did you know that you can just be stuck? Brother Robert was saying stuck. You can just be stuck when you think people don't like you. I've had the blessing of not being liked so long in my life. I'm just... I mean, I know, you remember when I told you guys my daddy's nickname for me? Do y'all remember that? Wormy. He called me Wormy because I was a mangy little thing. I found a picture of myself, like, in the backyard at my mother's house when we were little, and I thought, I've just got to bring that picture and show you guys that picture so you'll understand. Mangy little Janie being called Wormy. It doesn't matter if you like mangy little Janie being called Wormy when you're little. If God has his hand on your life and he asks you to do something, hold steady. Go through the open door. Hold steady. And if someone says, well, I just don't like your personality. I don't like how you talk. I don't like how you do things. You just don't suit me. Don't grind your teeth over it. Release them. But not release them necessarily. Release yourself. Because that's what holds you down. If you perceive you're not liked and not received, it holds you down. Release yourself from if your family members are like not exactly excited about you. Release yourself from that. Yeah. If people in the community are not excited about us as a church, release yourself from it. God has called us to win the lost and do a work. Jimmy, oh, I can't really say this on the internet, but oh my goodness, we had so much fun yesterday with people that are not necessarily given into serving the Lord at this point in their lives. I was thinking about Emma Humberg, Bob and Emma from Christ for the Nations in Germany. They were in a Bible college there, and they started a Bible college. They were Mike and Kay Chance. Kay is their Bob and Emma's daughter, and I'm sure Bob and Emma are along with the Lord. But one time we were sitting at a table there, and she looked at me and Pastor and said, "I am so sick of Christians." She said, "I am so sick of Christians. All these Bible school students all being hyper-holy. I am so sick of Christians. I want to be somewhere where there's some sinners." Hey, come on! So release yourself from those that are not... excited about you. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? Are y'all thinking, get her out of here? This is not the Gong Show, people. So then they departed the towns. They were preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, if you over-rationalize healing and you're trying to figure out, do people like me or whatever about healing, you won't be able to do the work of God. You've got to be free. You've got to have faith. You've got to hold to the promise. You've got to take the steps and the steps in faith, knowing God is with you because he said he would always be with you. I saw a video clip. I was thought about asking Sam to play it in the service, and it was just a little video clip of Jesus calling the 12. And in the video clip, the face of the guy, the actor that used to be Jesus, was just absolutely perfect Jesus. He was just so nice, nice looking in the sense of not necessarily George Clooney, but looked so inviting, his face, and he's like, come on. And watching that video gave new meaning to me that he's where he said to them, I'll come everywhere, I'll go before you. He goes before you. Did you know he goes before you? When he's asking you to go, he's not saying, get out there. Get out there, you lazy gold brick. It's time you did some work for God. You need to be evangelizing. What is wrong with you? You don't even care that people are going to hell. Get out there. No, it's him. He goes before you. And he's saying, come on. Come on, come on, come on. There's a lady in the line at Piccadilly. Come on, come on. I want you to pray for her. I want you to pray for this lady in the line. Come on, come on. I'm with you. I'm ahead of you. I got there first. That's what he's inviting us to do, to follow. So, now Herod, and this is interesting to me because it seems this chapter, verses 7 through 9, appear almost parenthetical in this story. Because they're telling the story of Jesus sending out the 12. And then in the middle of this, verses 7 through 9, it's the almost parenthetical, this piece about Herod. It says, Herod, the tetrarch, heard what was being done by him, by Jesus. And he was perplexed because he said, wait a minute, I beheaded John. He's like trying to figure this out. But why is that right there in the story? What happened in the story? I'm going to postulate a thing or two and y'all can shoot me or receive it. He heard what was done by Jesus, by him. He was perplexed. He said, well, I killed John. And then some people are out there saying it's Elijah. And others are saying one of the old prophets has come up from the dead. And Herod said, I had John beheaded, and who is this that I hear such things? So he sought to see Jesus. Now, I believe that little parenthetical piece is in there because I believe when he sent out the 12, they were stirring all over the region and all over the area, going out, healing the sick, getting the work of God done in his name. They weren't going in their own name. They were going in his name. And going in his name and doing this work stirred the opposition. It stirred opposition to Jesus. It wasn't John. Wasn't Elijah, it was Jesus. And then Jesus, stay with me a second, think about this. His fame increased after he sent out the 12. Because there's that little parenthetical thing. His fame increased after he sent the 12 because they were out doing the works that he does in his name. And so it is our purpose and goal when he's sending us out, which he is sending us out, It is the purpose to increase the fame of the Lord Jesus, not to increase the fame of us or to get anybody to like us. We've already shaken our feet off of those who don't think we're wonderful. And so, he wants to increase his fame. Isaiah prophesied of the increase of his government and of peace. There shall be no end. When he sent them out to preach, he didn't send them out to talk about things are going to be better for a while, then they're going to be worse, and then they're going to be this, and then they're going to be that, and to teach eschatology. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God. That part, that working of the kingdom of God, Jesus brought into the earth, and it will never decrease in this earth. The increase in of his government and peace, there will be no end. It will continually increase as we do what he told us to do. So then, after that, the apostles, when they returned, verse 10 of chapter 9 of Luke, when they returned, they told him all they'd done. They said, well, we did all this. He said, look, I need some time alone with you all. And so he starts taking them to get them somewhere where they can have time alone. So I'm sure he could just debrief them and minister to them, listen to them, love on them. And but when they started through that process, a whole multitude followed him. And so this multitude followed him, and Jesus got a thing for the multitude. He received them. He didn't say, no, I'm sorry, I already have a plan. I can't minister to you guys. I already have a plan here. I got to have time with my guys. I've already got this laid out, but here's the multitude that is so weary and not gathered. And he's got a thing for the weary and the not gathered. And so he received them, and he ministered to them, and he taught them. At the end of the day, they're like, the disciples realize, oh my gosh. Now they've been out doing miracles and wonders and all this kind of thing. And remember when he sent them out, what did he tell them to take? Nothing. He said, don't take anything, don't take any food, don't take any clothes, don't take any extra stuff, just the clothes on your back, don't go naked. But don't take any extra stuff. So at the end of this day, after they've done all of these wonders and the multitude comes, they come to Jesus and they say, we need to dismiss this meeting because these people are going to get hungry and Perkins is going to close. So we got to dismiss this meeting. And so they say this to Jesus, and Jesus said, I love Jesus. He said, well, let's give them something to eat. Feed them. And they're like, well, there's no food here. There's just a kid with like 5 loaves and 2 fish. This can't happen, whatever. And Jesus said to them, you just go have the people gather in groups and sit down in groups. And he told them how to lay out the order of it. And then Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed that food. And the disciples administrated the multiplication of it. They were distributing the miracle, the multiplication of that miracle. So they did miracles, they saw wonders. They saw what could happen when you go out and you have nothing. And then Jesus showed them in a macro way what could happen when people have nothing. Oh, Father in heaven, in this house, let it be that where people have nothing spiritually, you bless and you break and you pour out. And let it be that in this place and in this region that there will be such a feeding of God coming out. Because we don't need to have anything to have everything. So he sent them on their little way in a little micro way. You go in a house, you stay right there. Okay, all right. Don't take any food. You eat what they give you. Matzo ball soup or not. Okay. And then he showed them in a macro way what will happen when you have nothing. In a little way and in a big way. He showed them what would happen when you have nothing, but you have Him. And you have His presence, and you have His promise, and you have His blessing. You have the Word of God that will never die. So, they fed them. And this is one of my favorite parts. They did so. They had them all sit down. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 9. So they all ate. And they were satisfied. Filled. Which Greek satisfied. Satiated. They all ate and they were satisfied. And how many baskets of leftovers were taken up? How many disciples did He send out? No, how many disciples did He send out? In verse 1, Sam. Look at verse 1. 12. Oh, that was a good thought. Yeah, I like that thought. Boom. So he sent out the 12 disciples and told you, take no food. They go, they do their trust in God, they do their business. They come back. He has this miraculous macro miracle of the feeding. But when the disciples, at the end of it, there are 12 baskets of miracle food. And there are 12 disciples. So I want to tell you today that if we do what He says to do and don't worry ourselves to death about our stuff, if we enter the open door that God gives us in any day, in any situation, and just hold steady in that open door, if you release yourself from those who don't think you're wonderful, great, He will bring you to a place where He will literally fill you with miracle food. He'll let you see Him do a big, ginormous miracle of feeding, and then there'll be 12 baskets of leftovers. And there, it doesn't say that the disciples like took those baskets of leftovers and took them back to their bunks and chomped on them until midnight while they watched Stephen Colbert. But I'm thinking that those disciples got that those 12 baskets of leftovers came to these servants. I love Jesus. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Let's say yes to Him. I want you to make a commitment today. I just want you to say yes to Him. You don't have to throw away your dining room chairs. It was a silly example, but seriously, I get attached to things. Jimmy, would you be willing to tell them how many tables and chairs I've picked up off the side of the road? I'm a fanatic. If somebody throws something out and I like it, I just stop and get it. One time I got a basketball goal somehow in the back of my truck by myself. I don't know how I did it. I was just, there it is and it's free. Anyway, let's make our commitments to the Lord. Let's say to the Lord, I will not be concerned about my stuff. Be concerned about my stuff. Yeah, right. Because I'm throwing your stuff away, Jimmy. Anyway. Actually, he's the worst known. What door you open, I will enter into it and I'll hold steady. What door you open, I'll enter into it and I'll hold steady. And now I want everyone in this room to release yourself from people that have not thought you're wonderful great. Just shake it off. Shake it off. Just release yourself. If you've got people that aren't going, oh, I love him, I just love her, or I like the words you said, or I receive you, shake it off.
Shake it off.
We shake off the impressions we get ourselves by the reactions of other people. We shake off the impressions we get of ourselves by the reactions of other people in Jesus' name. And we receive your blessing today, Lord, the promise that you've set over us, your goodness, your mercy, all that you have for us. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Papi. We give you praise, Lord. We ask you to fill this house with those who do not know you or barely know you or just coming in. And we're not asking you to go get them, Jesus. We're not going to be that dumb. We would have been, but we learned this from this guy. Oh, Jesus. And we live in a place where whoever walks through these doors, if we have history with them, that is not beautiful, we walk in forgiveness.
Yes, we do.
We are the unoffendable ones. We are the unoffendable ones. We are the ones who will not take offense. We are the unoffendable ones. We thank you, Lord. Amore a santo se puoi. Let's just stretch ourselves in prayer a second here. Bon marada. Ilililia sindililia baro se aradande. Christi ala lebolilienda lilia santo seliliabi. Oh, prababa. Solalabolilienda liliababa. Father, para, sono, seliante. Hey, in Jesus' name. Kumareya stas aliliende. Yes, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Carosento. Aha, aha. Carosento. Aha, aha. Cobarantea. Hallelujah. 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 Let's receive the blessing of the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord. Let the light of his countenance be on us. We declare a blessing over you. Oh, lift up the light of your countenance on us, Lord. Thank you, Papi. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to give you a quick update on your pastor, on our pastor at